a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now.
This is Star Talk. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist, and today is a Cosmic Queries Primate Edition. And we've got an anthropologist who specializes in primate behavior right in studio with us, with Natalia Reagan.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
Natalia. You're brand new, one of our Star Talk All-Stars.
I'm very excited.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Chuck Nice.
Hey.
It was good to have you as my co-host.
Of course.
Donning an Einstein t-shirt.
Indeed.
Very nice.
Yes.
And lately, you're host of Playing with Science.
That's correct.
A new spinoff of Star Talk. And you know why we spun this off? I'll tell you.
Why?
Because we did Star Talk on all manner of topics, and some of them would be sports. And the sports ones had their own following.
That's right.
And we said, let's feed them.
Let's feed those sportsters.
Feed them.
That's right.
Just give them all they want.
Yes. And Gary O'Reilly, who was a former footballer.
A Brit footballer. Brit
footballer.
As they say.
Or as my daughter calls it, feetball.
Feetball, good.
Because football is an American sport, so she calls feetball. Mm-hmm. And, we get into all manner of science as it relates to sports. It's really cool.
And I wanted to rename football because hardly anyone puts their foot on it.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
So what would you call it?
Armball.
Armball. Yes.
Yeah. You catch it, you run with it.
It's armball.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought this through. Right. So this is Cosmic Queries Primate Edition. So Natalia, you've hung out with primates?
I have.
Non-human primates? Presumably also human primates.
Human primates as well. They're, I tolerate them.
You're okay.
Oh, God. I actually studied spider monkeys. I studied a critically endangered subspecies of spider monkey called the Azuero spider monkey in Panama.
Whoa.
My main focus was conservation, so I actually was doing a census. The same year that we had our census in 2010, mm-hmm. I was in Panama counting spider monkeys.
And did you find that the spider monkeys were cooperative in filling out their census forms?
They were not. They were very ornery. Like, I had to chase these guys down. They threw fruit at me.
That's better than other things they could throw at you.
No. Everybody asks, do they throw their poop? And I'm like, why would they poop in their hand and throat when all they have to do is just gently position their bottom right over your head, and just that's what we call getting baptized.
When
you get baptized in primatology, it's either poop or pee.
So wait a minute, you mean there they like here we have birds that do that on your shoulder. There you have monkeys.
Yeah.
I'm never going.
Yeah, it's spiders and you got howlers and the funny thing is the diet. Whatever you eat affects whatever comes out.
And don't they eat a lot of fruit?
Yes. Yeah. We talked about how spider monkeys are frugivores. That's their preferred food is fruit. And howler monkeys are folivores, meaning they eat leaves. And their poop stinks. I'm just telling you. Yeah, you can smell them.
What kind of a vore are they?
Fall of vore.
What does that mean?
They eat leaves.
Fall of vore.
Fall of vore. Mm-hmm.
Fall of vore.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So now, and what if they're from Brooklyn and they eat a lot of kale?
Ooh, gosh.
Are they a hipster vore?
I was going to say, like, I'm yeah, they're just a hipster.
Aren't,
I
don't think isn't kale leaves?
Right? Yeah, exactly. That's true. They're a fall of vore.
Somebody's leaves, what we call kale.
Right? Kale, yeah. No, I...
So you worked among them. Did you become one with them?
I wish, man. They,
are you Jane Goodall of spider monkeys?
Well, the funny thing is, I wish. No, I know some great spider monkey researchers that would... I probably should take that particular role. But spider monkeys are called the chimpanzees of the New World because their social behavior is a lot like chimps as far as they have big groups and they fission off into smaller groups. And as far
word
as
fission,
fission.
Good physics word.
Yeah, it is a good
fission.
Physics word.
My duty to call
yes, exactly.
Like this.
As opposed to fusion.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They fuse together in a sleeping tree at the end of the night and then they fission off to go eat and, you know, find food elsewhere. Kind of like how chimps do. They'll have a big group and they'll go off into smaller groups. And
isn't it true? People don't want to believe this, but I think it's true. I read it on the internet.
Oh, no.
No, that chimps and humans are more genetically... Chimps and humans are more genetically alike than either chimps or humans are genetically related to the monkeys.
Well, it's the common ancestor... Our common ancestor was more recent between chimps and humans. Mm-hmm. And as far as the
genetic timeline. You have to go farther back in time to get the common ancestor between the common ancestor we had with chimps and all the rest of the monkeys.
All the other monkeys.
Around.
And does that...
Primates with tails.
Does
old
that,
world monkeys and apparently some new world monkeys.
New world monkeys. And those are the only ones, by the way.
Is that all the great apes? Do chimps, like, so orangutans and all those as
the
well?
Great ape
make
family?
The list. The great ape list. Who is
great
it?
Great apes.
There's chimps. There's bonobos. There's orangutans, which are those sexy ginger redheads in the Southeast Asia.
You know what orangutans look like.
I know. Mm-hmm. I'm just
there's a whole movie series with orangutan.
Exactly.
With what's his face?
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. Yes. What was
it? Was called
Any Which Way, but
Any Which Way But Up.
But Loose and anyway, but the whole series.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why we know orangutans.
Yes, and according to Bill Maher, we have one as president.
Okay. Oh man, I wouldn't. I don't know. I feel like that's really giving orangutans a bad rap.
Oh,
that's a burn.
Yeah, no.
I
mean,
that was rough.
Yeah, he has the flanges because the male orangs have the flanges.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
The big but giant not all males. Jowls.
This
the
is
jolly
a the wider cheek.
Right. This is, yeah, these are the actually the pads right here. Those are like the big.
You call them flanges?
Flanges.
Okay.
Nice. Hey, baby.
That's
nice.
Their face.
Flanges. Yeah.
Their face.
And you know what that comes from? The mama orangutan is going, such a good boy. What a good boy.
Well, an interesting.
The Greek, right? Oh, big pinch in the cheeks.
Right. They got to do it equally or else you're just going to have like one giant weird flange.
So do we have the full list?
No, we don't.
So go ahead.
Actually, those of the great apes, it's humans, humans, gorillas. We didn't get gorillas.
Right.
Chimps, bonobos.
Right.
And then and the orangs are the Southeast
Asian. And how about the
lesser
the baboons?
Apes. Baboons or monkeys?
What? Oh, look at that!
What? Wait, I thought they don't have tails, though, do they?
Well, some. I mean, they have a little bit of a tail. Not. I mean, like they're stump-tail macaques, which don't have tails, but they are monkeys. They are macaques.
Monkeys, right?
Yeah. So those are. They're not part of the. Yeah, they're not.
I was in South Africa.
Family.
Yeah.
And I eating something out on the porch,
right?
In the game park.
Uh huh.
And I would turn around and come back. Baboon stole my bacon right off my plate.
See?
Waited for me to not look.
Damn. Waited for you.
Waited for me to not look.
Smart.
That's a monkey. That's an ape.
They are smart
very
and
crafty.
They are yeah very crafty. And they there's actually great footage if you Google it of an not a ring of a baboon taking down a flamingo. They actually will hunt and kill and eat flamingos. Wow. And it looks
makes
like
some good eating.
Yeah,
probably tastes like shrimp because they eat them.
They eat a lot of shrimp. That's why
they're so
that's
pink.
The color.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, and then there's the lesser apes. Oh, by the way, I was going to throw in that.
So great apes.
Don't you be discriminating apes?
Yeah,
I know. It's because they're diminutive size.
What are the lesser
apes? Gibbons.
Gibbons.
Gibbons. Well, gibbons, and then also there's sea amongs, which are a part of that group, but right. They're a little bit different. They have the throat sac. Mm-hmm. They are extremely loud. So howler monkeys, which I was kind of showing you that call before we started filming.
Well, don't just share it with us. Now you have. Now that you brought it up,
so I studied,
you have to do it.
I studied spider monkeys, but there are also a lot of howler monkeys where I worked. And
howler monkeys.
Howler. So they howl. But you'll hear. It's not so much of a howl. It sounds more of like somebody clearing their throat in the morning, but very
loud.
So
you know how to call a howler monkey.
I call howler monkeys. Okay. Sometimes they call back.
Okay, let's hear.
Sometimes they don't, and I'm sad.
Let's go.
Okay.
Ooh!
Sound like Eddie Murphy laughing.
wait. So does this make them horny or something? Have you checked the book on that sound?
You know,
find out what you're doing to them.
The translation guide, the Google Translate's not that great. Look at it. But that's how they wake up in the morning, and they'll just kind of let one group know, like, hey guys, we're here.
Oh, so it's a wake up thing.
It's like, not. Well, no, it's not just. Well, they do it in the morning.
It's like, their morning show.
So if you travel to Central America or South America, any area, or you know, Southern Mexico, where they have howler monkeys, a lot of people hear them in the morning, like 5 a.m., and they're like, "What the hell is that? Like, right. What is that?" They think it's a jaguar. They think they're like getting attacked
it's
by something.
It's just you. It's a little on spring break.
It's
Cancun.
It's just this little monkey making its loud, and they have these, you know, great throat sacks, and they're the fall of wars. So what they do is they let the other howler monkeys know, "Hey guys, we're over here. Just so you know," and they kind of communicate that way. So
I read. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. That we speak, we have the power to create language because of a genetic defect in whatever it is that would makes apes make sounds. That's what I read.
I actually
that
do
recently.
Not know that. I'm gonna have to look that up. Yeah, that. I don't know, because that actually
a genetic mutation is a single mutation.
One single mutation
that enables us to speak,
separates us, and allows us to speak.
Right.
That's awesome.
That is really.
It allows us to then communicate more complex ideas, figure out how to put it in a book. So now you don't have to know everything in order to move civilization forward.
Absolutely.
You can stand on the shoulders of those who came before you.
Yeah.
Well, there's been, you know, looking at speech. If Neanderthals actually were able to talk, and they're there's a great special where they actually they think that they might have been able to, but because of the way their the vocal cords or the just the morphology of their throat was throat. They basically had this fairly high pitched voice. It would be very nasally and very
Mike Tyson. Yeah, you know I mean,
I don't want to get punched, so he said it, not me.
And that's why they went extinct.
Absolutely, that's exactly. Yeah,
it didn't intimidate anybody.
It's right? Great. This is great. I'm so glad that we got together like this. It's awesome.
Oh God,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a high pitch with a list.
With a list. Right. That's the Neanderthal. That's the Neanderthal.
So Chuck, you got questions on this topic on primates?
On primatology, we
right
have
came
a great
in through the internet
people?
From Facebook and other sources.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So bring it on.
Okay, so here we go.
I'll defer everyone because I don't know Jack about, you know. I mean, other than humans being apes ourselves.
Right.
You know more than the average bear.
that's
but I don't know very many bears that know a lot about primates, so maybe that wasn't a good.
You know more than the average primate. There you go.
Okay, so what do you got, Chuck?
Let's start off with Jared Kellogg, coming to us from Facebook, and Jared says this: are primates still evolving? Are there findings that show human intervention, whether habitat change, food change, etc., has changed how they interact with each other and with us?
Nice question.
So that's a
great question.
Good question.
Well, first of all, everything's still evolving. No, nothing has stopped. We're still evolving. Humans are. And as far as monkeys and apes, yes. I mean, in fact, we talk about.
I have a rebuttal to that.
Sure. Okay.
Can I wait, or should I put it in right now?
You can put it in right now.
Right now. So my rebuttal to that. So I agree that evolution is always a force at work, but that doesn't mean you're speciating. And here's my point. You can split a species, strand both branches from one another. Now they can move independently. You come back in a million years, they're different.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
Okay. But right now, all humans all over the world can make babies. And
Now,
if we're all making babies,
sure.
Then we are not stranding any one branch of ourselves.
No, right.
And if we're all making babies at all times, doesn't that ossify who and what we are in the tree of life?
Yeah.
Because we have the coelacanth that hasn't changed for, how long?
Millions of years.
Which roach, I don't think has changed
for much. Thought was extinct, by the way. They
thought
this,
the big old fish.
Right.
You got one at the Museum of Natural History in a cabinet.
Oh, yeah.
No, you see that, like, the cartilaginous bony remains after somebody, I don't know, they ate it, ate the flesh. My point is that you think of a speciation when you isolate branches. This is how you get the exotic animals on in Australia,
Madagascar
and Australia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we're not stranding ourselves, unless we put a colony on Mars, why would we think that one day we're going to be something different?
Well, it's not that we're going to be something different. It's just evolution does not necessarily mean we're becoming a new species. It's just the way that we are exchanging genes is causing, you know, perhaps different, you know, it's the genotype metamorphs itself or is expressed in the phenotype sometimes differently. And as we are populations and as we're becoming this very globalized world and populations are mixing with other populations that didn't in the past, you know, we're going to see, you know, different expressions, you know, whether it's, you know, in the way we look or the way
genetically. But we'll all have that together.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, it's not, we're not necessarily becoming a new species. And I'm not saying that chimps will become a new species as they're, you know.
Well, let's get back to them. So, we're in their environment. You know, you know, we're spreading.
Yeah.
Have to adapt?
Of course. I mean, and that's kind of the idea that I'd sort of adapt or die out, you know?
Well, that's it.
And that's like we talked about briefly, I think last time was macaques, for instance.
No, last time. Say that.
Sorry. There's a species of monkey called macaques, which are really interesting because as far as a primate goes, they're the second most widely distributed primate in the world, second to us, to humans.
Interesting.
And what they're able to do is eat anything. They're like humans. We're like human little...
Is that the big dividing line?
Yeah.
Being able to... And in fact, there was a really great study coming out at NYU, a grad student, Alex DeCason, I hope I'm saying her last name right, and James Hyam, and another researcher basically found that what you eat is actually what is affecting brain size. It's not necessarily a primate's social skills.
Right.
And so diet has a lot to do with not only...
as a matter of fact, wasn't that when we started using fire and then roasting meat and then getting bigger sources of protein that caused our brains to become larger.
Yeah, but not just meat, because if you think about it, brains take a lot of calories to function. And so it's not just about eating protein, but also even eating like carbohydrates, like so being able to cook tubers and roots and things like that. So the actual ability to eat.
Just to keep eating.
Yeah, eating things that are high.
Whatever helps.
Just keep eating.
In front of you.
Right.
And to thrive anywhere. Like humans are amazing. I mean, we can live in the Arctic and survive off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and do.
The more specialized your diet, the more you are in danger.
The more susceptible you are.
Right.
Especially when it comes to interaction like with your environment. If, say, for instance, spider monkeys, the ones that I study with deforestation, there's not a lot of fruit available. So it's problematic for them.
They can just go to Whole Foods.
They can go to, right, exactly. They can go hit the farm. Well, that's the thing is...
Farmer's market in the forest.
But that happens. Primates will actually forage on other people's, you know, on people's property and eat their food at farms and farmers will get mad and will attack and kill them because they see them as a threat to their livelihood. So we're threatening their livelihood.
When really we came in and took over their territory.
Ooh. Oh, that's cold.
That is cold.
That ain't right.
No. And it's you see it with orangutans. In fact, you know, farmers have killed orangutans in the past because of just them foraging for crops because they're hungry. I mean, you would do it too. We've got to eat.
Orangutans like highly intelligent creatures?
Oh yeah, I mean they're great apes, so like us, and they're really good at imitation. So they'll see somebody like using a hammer and nail and you'll look over later on and there's the orang just sort of... You're not really necessarily hammering anything or doing anything.
Okay, when you say imitations, I thought they were like, you know, they were doing impressions. Like here's my Jay Leno.
Imitation.
I would pay good money to see that.
So when I was a kid, I'm old enough to have seen Planet of the Apes in first run theaters.
Okay.
How old I am. I did not see Planet of the Apes again until like 40 years later.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that's a deep movie.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my gosh. And in it...
With the best ending in the world.
In it, the different lines of primates have different roles in the society.
Yes.
So the orangutans, if I remember correctly, they were the diplomats.
And the big thinkers.
And the big thinkers. And the gorillas were the...
Security guards.
Okay? And guess who the scientists were? They were the chimpanzees, the ones closest to the humans. They were just all apes when I saw the movie.
Right.
The Planet of the Apes.
Right.
And so they actually did some dividing and splitting. Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, even in the most recent one, I remember watching it and... because
the most recent Planet of the Apes movies,
yes, and they had the same sort of, you know, the different groups of great apes. But I almost wish they could take it a step further. And I know I'm just being a little too, you know, pointed and you know, particular.
What would that step be?
Well, that step would be because they have different social groups. So, like, orangutans don't usually live in social groups. They live, you know, it's a single mom with her infants and then a single dad, and they both are kind of like solitary. But of course, that doesn't make for a very good movie if they're like, where are the orangutans?
But if they're clever, if they're clever screenwriters, they could possibly build that in.
Yeah,
once you have a variation in something, do something with it. Yeah.
A loner or orangutan. You talking to me?
Yeah, right.
I don't see anybody else here. You must be talking to me.
Brooklyn orangutan.
Oh God, it's him again. Okay,
guys, nothing but trouble.
We gotta take a break. We'll come back and we'll get a bunch more questions in on primates as the topic with our special guest Natalia Reagan, anthropologist and primate expert, when we return.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Do you want to set up your child for success? Of course you do. Maybe you want to save money on private tutoring, or maybe it's just out of your budget altogether. Is this a big school year for your child? Like maybe they're starting kindergarten, middle school, or high school, or some other milestone. Maybe your family moved and they're starting at a new school. Is your child ahead? Not getting challenged enough in class? Well, we love that little smarty, but we want him to be engaged. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanation videos. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Star Talk Radio listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/StarTalk. Visit IXL.com/StarTalk to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
We're back on Star Talk. Neil Tyson here, sometimes with a DeGrasse in between.
Is DeGrasse greener?
Yeah, DeGrasse is greener. Neil on DeGrasse. Right. Nice, always good to have you as
always
co-host.
Always a pleasure.
Natalia Reagan. I keep calling Reagan. It's Reagan. Natalia Reagan.
Okay, I'll answer
to
anything.
You'll answer to it. So you're an anthropologist and you've worked in the field specializing in spider monkeys.
Yes.
But we assume you have some osmotic knowledge of other members of the primate community.
Primate world, yes.
Primate universe. Yeah. The primativerse. So what do you have, Chuck?
This All right, let's jump right back queries. Into it. Cosmic queries. So, you know, we have your questions here. Let's get right into it. John Clemens wants to know this. He's asking you specifically, Natalia, do you have a favorite primate?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I would be a total jerk if I didn't say spider monkeys.
Just because you studied them?
Ooh, they're pretty. Well, here, I'm going to say a couple cool things.
That's a lame reason.
That is a lame reason.
No.
We can't let you off the hook on that.
Just because
you wrote papers on it.
Right. What?
Well, actually, spider monkeys are pretty, I think, fantastic.
Then here it is.
Yep.
What distinguishes them to make them high on your list from all the other primates?
Well, okay. So I love the fact that, we talked about the frugivore thing, that they spider monkeys eat primarily fruit. The ones that I studied in Panama were so tenacious. As far as the deforestation problem in Panama, it's bad. And I saw spider monkeys, groups living in what should be a corridor between two huge fragments, living in just the corridor. So they were able to scrap together a living, and by living, I mean food, and still had infants, you know, on their back and on their front. You know, I-1 and I-2, those are the different stages of infancy. And so they were still able to make it in this really degraded...
So they reorganized their civilization to still survive in spite of what humans are doing.
Yes. And they also... So, like, one of the cool...
Actually, they're working on nuclear weapons.
Oh, my God. A spider monkey with the codes.
The launch codes.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
And they have the prehensile tail, so all they had to do is just kind of like boop,
prehensile, you know, means it can grip.
It could actually be prehensile, and only New World monkeys, by the way, have that, and not all of them, only a few do. But also, this is an interesting fact. Spider monkeys,
be the judge of that.
I think you'll like it. Female spider monkeys have the hypertrophic clitoris.
I don't know what that means.
Right?
Yeah,
I know
exactly
what one of those words is.
Right? Yeah.
The other one, I don't know what the word is.
Yes, so I certainly don't know. I certainly know what hypertrophic means. What is this other word you said?
Should I get a map? Does someone need a map? Well.
So these are spider monkeys.
These are spider monkeys. And females.
Female spider monkeys.
Yes, they have. It basically looks like almost an index finger hanging down. It's a dangler. It's a pseudo penis. And it looks like it would be. The first time I ever saw a female spider monkey, I thought, oh, those are some male spider monkeys.
Right.
To which I was told, No.
So these were, so hypertrophic means bigger.
Yeah, well, it's extending from the body. Yes.
Extending from the body.
That's
okay.
It, yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what is the purpose of a hypertrophic clitoris?
Well,
dangling clitoris?
You know, that's the thing, is it's there's different ideas of what that could be, but there's no actual accepted theory about why there is the hypertrophic clitoris. One of them is that it makes it easy to identify females from a far distance, because it really does. I mean, it helps us researchers. I know from, if I have binoculars,
right,
I see it. The dangler.
So what does the male penis do then?
The male penis actually, I mean, it's actually not too shabby itself. I actually have seen some copulations in the field. And by the way, spider monkeys have very long copulations compared to other.
Star Talk.
Yes,
ask us. Hours.
Yes. Welcome to monkey porn.
Monkey
right?
Porn.
Exactly.
So no. No,
they have very long copulations, because I actually had to write an entry in the primatological encyclopedia that's coming out on intromission pattern and copulatory posture, which is basically monkey sex positions.
Right.
The person. But I had to talk about how long spider monkeys will engage, and it's usually on the upwards of like 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, they can be for a very long time.
Well, I have to look at that.
That right there is a hyena pseudo penis. That's a female.
That's a female hyena right there.
That's a clitoris, and actually hyenas give birth through their clitoris.
So for those of you who do not have the benefit of StarTalkAllAccess.com, right now we are looking at a picture that is up on a screen. It is a female hyena who is gestating right now. She's pregnant, and she has a hypertrophic clitoris.
Clitoris, yeah.
And the clitoris doubles as the birth canal.
Yeah. I mean, that. Oh. So when men say, like, oh, I could never have a child because, how could you imagine, you know, giving birth through a urethra? Meet the hyena. That can't feel great.
Okay.
Well, maybe it does.
Maybe, yeah, you're right. You know, maybe that's right? Maybe it's like, whoa.
Maybe that's nature's reward for them.
I'm just saying. Hey. Right.
Okay, so Spider-Man.
So she's giving some arguments there.
I'm going to give you some arguments.
All right.
We'll give you that.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's go to Juko Vananen. Okay. From Helsinki, Finland. What's your guess? Are there primates in the TRAPPIST-1 system? That's to you, Neil. And I think he just wants, he's just trying to find a way to get to ask you about TRAPPIST-1. That's
So the TRAPPIST-1 is a star system. Mm-hmm. It has 7 recently discovered Earth-like planets, 3 of which are orbiting in the Goldilocks zone,
okay,
where there's not too hot, not too cold. You can sustain liquid water. That's about all we know right now. Mm-hmm. These planets do cross cross between us and our sight line to the host star.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cottage industry ready to blossom, where we will study the ingredients of the atmospheres of these planets.
That's so cool.
By analyzing the light of the host star as it passes through that atmosphere. And so then you can say, oh, does it have oxygen? Is there methane? Is there any of this other stuff? So what we don't know, we can't look at the surface yet, but we are in search of biomarkers.
Okay.
So what we would do to answer that question, take it seriously, is we would ask you, Natalia, is there any effect that primates have on their atmosphere so that when we study the chemical composition of the atmosphere, we can say it's got primates? That would be the question.
Wow. That's
because really cool. If it has methane, for example, maybe there's a farming industry, because methane is a byproduct of farms.
Or Mexican food.
Beans.
It is a primary ingredient of flatulence. Yes. Maybe does it have termites? Maybe it's not uniquely implicating them, but it could be suggestive of it. So from what you know, do primates have any special impact on their atmosphere?
In their environment? Well, what they do, I mean, it's not so much, I think, the atmosphere as far as
air.
But, so for instance, we talked about spider monkeys eating fruit or other monkeys eating mm-hmm. fruit. That is a way, they are actually distributors of those seeds. So
the same way bees pollinate flowers, they carry the seed, the fruit, and actually...
They eat the whole fruit, including the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't digest the seeds.
Right, so that comes out.
And they poop it out. So this is the plant's diabolical plan to spread their seeds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's amazing.
There was one theory that I read years ago about how...
You can imagine the plant scientists saying, okay, we're going to produce this fruit. Now, how do we get it? Let's put it through the entire digestive system of a bear. Let's do that. But we have to make the casing strong enough so it didn't resist the digestive thing.
Right.
Then they'll poop it over here, poop it over there, and we can spread. Yeah. These are like.
Yep. No, I actually, I hosted a Bigfoot show years ago called Bigfoot Bounty, and we found, and we'd had the contestants going out looking for biomaterials that could be Bigfoot's poop, basically. And mm-hmm. there was one turd that I found. I'll never forget this turd.
That is a sentence I'd never thought I would hear in my life. That was a sentence.
Yep.
It was gleaming. One of these
never before spoken sentence. There was one turd I never thought I'd find in my life.
That was Star Talk history. Right there.
It was a beautiful turd. It was purple, and I just looked at it, and it was clearly a bear turd, but it was all just blackberries. It was just like it was just all seed. It almost looked like it was like a candy confection thing, but it was a turd. I did not
stop there. We don't hear that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Don't please, whatever you do, don't ruin candy for me. I have very few things left in my life.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay. All right.
But as far so seed distribution and
what we'd have to do is we would need more than the atmosphere. We would need some other geographic data.
Yeah. Well, also, environmental DNA is very interesting. Like, they'll leave behind, if something, say, for instance, bites or stings them, or, well, not bite, stings, but more bites, like a blood-sucking insect, we could dissect their blood meal and find if there are primates living in the area.
Yeah, I saw that movie. Jurassic Park, I saw that.
No, that's amber. This is actually you can do ecological surveys now like that.
Okay,
I'm not kidding.
So this is their DNA remnants from various things that happen.
Well, it's just blood that's in the say if a mosquito bites a.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so your DNA signature is outside of yourself.
Yeah.
in some way.
Environmental
or
DNA.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That was very cool.
What else you got, Chuck?
All right. Here we go. Let's talk about Antonio Rodriguez, who wants to know this. Are there primate hybrids?
Yes.
Ooh.
Very good question.
It is a very good question.
That's an animate hybrid.
There are primate hybrids. Who's been the hybrid?
Who's been hybridizing?
Who's hybridizing them?
Baboons. Actually, back to baboons. They do hybridize, and they are able to produce offspring. So
with
other baboons. So it's
We're talking about like a centaur.
They're different species. Oh god.
Like a minotaur.
That would be weird.
Like a baboon minotaur, like some kind of chimera, man. Like a chupacabra, like a baboon chupacabra.
You know what's funny? The centaur.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm.
It's half horse, half man. Okay? And the minotaur, this is just weird. It's half man, half bull. But the rear, it's a human butt.
Yes.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's all human up to the waist. So it's got a human butt.
It's so weird.
Don't think that through.
I know.
It's very top heavy too. Like I would.
Yeah,
just,
I know.
You just like fall over all the time.
Yeah. Difficult to walk around as a minotaur.
Okay, so no, but we're talking about blending genes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so are the great apes close enough to one another genetically that they can crossbreed?
No. And that's the thing. So baboons are able. There's multiple species of baboon that are able to do that.
Okay, but we still call them all baboons.
But they're different species of baboons. So there's, you know, the olive baboons. There's hamadryas. There's gelada baboons, which are fantastic. But
that's not interesting.
I know.
Okay,
I get it. As far as like of a chimp and a gorilla,
what we want is a chimp.
No,
a chimp boon or chimparilla.
A chimparilla. No. That's even better.
No, I'm sure they could mate. A lot of things can mate with each other, but I don't think they'd actually produce viable offspring, no.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't seen that. Now, how about chimps and bonobos?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, chimps and bonobos probably could. They haven't seen any, I think, hybrids coming out.
Geographically, where do we find them?
Well, that's the thing, is they do have some overlap. Bonobos are only in DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, formerly Zaire. Chimps are in multiple places throughout Africa, DRC, they're in Republic of Congo, and just various places throughout in Western
DRC, by the way, is a very famous wine, just so you know.
Is it really?
Domaine de la Romanée Conti. It's too many syllables for Americans, we just call it DRC.
DRC. Yeah.
Wow, is it produced?
It's in Burgundy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Well,
we said DRC. Yeah. I said, wow.
Yeah.
Good wine.
Wow. They're winemakers, bonobos. That's also probably why they're making love all the time.
Yeah, there you go. See?
By females. They want their wine and they want their sweet love. Uh-huh. But as far as them mixing with chimps, I don't know of any studies that have come out, but there was a species of a group of chimps in an area of DRC that they were so large that they thought they could be a hybrid of gorillas and chimps. It turns out they're just chimps, but just at the
really
time,
bigger chimps.
A good friend of mine actually studied
chimps
them.
With gym memberships.
They were just <you know.
laughs> dude.
What are you juicing?
they're CrossFit chimps.
Right. So. They're literally juicing.
They're
juicing their fruit.
Yeah, they are. It's you gotta do what you gotta do.
All right, so
give me one more. You got time for one last question.
We have to
be
more
quick. Yeah.
All right. So, okay, that's too much there. That's too much.
All right.
It was funny.
Natalia's looking over your shoulder.
You're not supposed to do that.
All right.
Okay. Surprise.
As humans, are we progressing? No, let's forget that one.
Wait.
Okay. Okay, as humans, are we progressing forward or are we idling with all the technology that is so easily available? Are we going to evolve because of our technology? Like, will that turn us into different humans and thereby different, further separating us from our primate
cousins? Here's what we
can do.
We can turn ourselves into superhumans and then turn chimps into humans.
They
can do all the human
easy.
Work
oh,
and we
great.
Can go to the Bahamas.
I love it.
I think there's an ethical question there that is probably not a good idea.
Okay.
No,
I don't know. I was just balling there. I don't know.
Although, yeah, I don't know. I mean, chimps are really aggressive. I don't know if I want them like taking out my trash.
Well, is there any attempt to in the spirit of that question, is there any attempt to modify their DNA to make them more capable of surviving their environment in one way or another? Yeah.
Not that I know of. Okay. Modifying their DNA? No. Right. I mean, even like the new gene editing we have in humans, like right. CRISPR, CRISPR, and there's a new one that I read about recently that's even, you could actually inject a living person with edited genes that are, it's supposed to take effect. It worked on lab rats, but that's run into a lot of ethical questions. But as far as trying to change living primates to better adapt, no, it's just mostly trying to change human behavior so they can live longer, you know, hopefully push, you know, for instance, like in orangutans with deforestation, we're trying to get people not to use palm oil because that's a big problem there. So things like that, we're trying to amend our behavior rather than expecting them to just sort of like change your diet, become a new species.
Wait, what's wrong with palm oil?
Well, palm oil plantations are basically a big cause of deforestation in
for whatever was there before.
Yes, exactly. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So it's not the palm oil itself is not a bad thing. It's just the way it's
we
being
cut
produced.
It down. We cut down a bunch of trees so that we can actually raise palm oil.
Yeah.
And then, but I love me some coconut. I'm not getting on my coconut.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
I coconut I go way back.
Coconut. Coconut's very good for you.
We got to take a break. Yeah. You've been listening to, and some of you may have even been watching, this episode of Star Talk, Cosmic Queries Primate Edition with anthropologist Natalia Reagan when we come back.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
We're back on Star Talk, Cosmic Queries, Primate Edition. Yes, humans are primates, just in case you didn't know. Mm-hmm. You're animals.
Yes.
And even if you didn't know we were animals, your mama told you once, at least once in your life.
You're some kind of animal.
Exactly. Well, as a matter of fact, yes.
Yeah. Well, yes, I am.
Well, isn't that what they say? What the parents say, what the teachers say to kids who don't yet know they're going to be professional comedians? They'll say something in class, and the teacher says,
What are you,
a comedian?
I wish I could go back to every single time that happened to me. I kid you not, Neil. I actually dream of being able to get into a time machine. That's one of
Chuck,
the places I would
the
go.
First thing, if I invent a time machine, we'll get that squared out.
Please.
Then we'll solve world problems.
And believe me, it would go just like this. What are you, some kind of a comedian? Just wait, bitch. Oh, sorry.
Fast forward.
So, Natalia Reagan, you're here to help us answer questions on primates.
Yeah.
That came through our social media network, so give me more.
Sure. Okay, here we go. Don Rim from Facebook says this. Judging from the study of Coco the gorilla, do you believe that primates and other animals are capable of higher learning?
Good question.
It is a good question. So not just Coco. There's multiple examples of non-human primates. That
Coco was a gorilla. There are also some chimpanzee ones, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Washo. There's been
what
lot.
What's the name of that one?
Washo.
Washo. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Right? Washo the chimp.
And as far as cognitive abilities, there's a lot that non-human primates can do. And there's been studies not just having to do sign language and things of that sort, but actually being able to understand and remember patterns. They found that chimps were actually better at doing some of those pattern memory tests than actual humans were. So there are a lot of abilities that I think non-human primates have in terms of cognition, but we also have to remember that measuring cognition in animals is not just about being able to, you know, do algebra or calculus. It's about, you know, social intelligence and being able to communicate in ways that works for them, because it's not about adapting and surviving in our world. It's about adapting and surviving in their world.
Maybe if they had a need for algebra, they would actually understand and develop an understanding of algebra. They don't have a need for it.
No. So.
That would be scary.
Yeah, that'd
I don't want no ape doing better on my math test than I am.
They're still better on their SATs than me.
So do you know Carl Sagan's famous quote? I think it was in reference to dolphins, but it could easily be applied to chimps. It was, we have found some dolphins that have managed to make gestures that make it clear that they understand what we're talking about, but we have yet to find any human that can speak dolphin.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, we are so species-centric in so many ways.
Wasn't that good? It's
that's good.
Yeah. I try to talk to cats, man, but I don't know if they get me. You know, like, I try to understand what they're
saying. Oh, they get you. They're just ignoring you. That's a cat, right?
Did you see the XKCD comic about that?
No.
Okay, so... I got to laugh first before I even say it. Okay, so this guy comes home, right? And there's a cat sitting on the edge of the couch.
Right.
And obviously just came home from his day. And the caption is, if cats could talk. Okay? So he comes and says, hi, kitty witty. How are you? And the cat looks up and just goes back to what he was doing. Doesn't say it.
There you go.
If cats could talk.
There's never. That's a perfect.
That's
perfect.
The best comic
if
ever.
If cats could talk. That's perfect.
Yeah, it just looks up and then just goes
right back down.
Now.
There you have it.
No. That's I 100% agree.
So give me some cosmic queries.
All right, here we go. Evolution is at a cellular level. This is from Michelle Tapia. Mm-hmm. DNA writes our shape. Adding it here and there can change you. Okay, thanks so much, Michelle. That was the end of it. She was just like, there you go. That's what is that really what evolution is, though? I'll ask the question. Is that indeed what evolution is?
It is.
Change on a cellular level.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the passing down of different genetic material, and it starts at a cellular level. But it also, it doesn't necessarily manifest itself immediately. You know, the genes are passed down. It might actually be seen generations from now that, had been in your family for generations, but it's also not goal-driven.
Wait, but if I'm born with six fingers, that sixth finger is not just a cell. That's a whole thing in my body.
Exactly.
And now I got the sixth finger gene.
It's a weird mutation,
Yeah. And if I start making babies with other six-fingered mateable partners, we can start a new base 12 arithmetic system.
That's right. And like you'll be the most awesome piano players in the world.
Oh my gosh. Stand up bass, you'd just be the fastest fingers.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I play the sitar better than anybody you've ever seen.
Six-fingered man.
All right, here we go. Why do apes retain or perpetuate the kindred instinct? No signs of actual hate or feud against each other. And us humans appear to have lost this identity. But is that true about other apes?
I wouldn't say that. I think apes and
is there ape homicide?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chimps will kill one another. So,
but are there ape muggings?
Right, exactly.
That's so funny.
Give me your banana.
Give me
your banana.
Hey, man, I don't want no trouble. I don't want no trouble, man.
I just want the banana. You can just the rest of what's in your wallet.
That's right.
Your money's no good here. Just give me your food. Well, that's the funny thing is, like, for them, currency is food. Like, I've done a video on this about how, chimps will give gifts of fruit in hopes of getting a little extra side nookie just because that is
for nookie.
Well, it's kind of like buying your sweetheart a necklace or something like that. It's an exchange. It's an exchange. But anyways, back to the question.
Fruit is cheaper than diamonds.
I was going to say.
Mangoes.
These guys got it good. These guys got it good, man. I wish I could come home. Hey, baby, here's an orange. I wish I could. Hey, how you doing? Here's the arms. And you know what? Here's a few grapes on me. Just to make it even sweeter.
Oh, my God.
Only life were that simple, right, man. Oh, gosh. As far as altruism and kindness, there is that in the animal world. We see that in multiple species, not just in primates, human and non-human. But there is aggression. Chimpanzees are known for a lot of, in-group fighting.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have, alpha male.
They gang war, too.
Yeah, they do.
They gang war.
before.
You know, but the thing is, we don't like to get lost in the blood. Right? Oh my God! You don't wear blue in this part of the forest. Don't wear red there.
I'm just trying. You know, I'm a fan of the West Side Story, the movie. I just can't. They come out, they start dancing.
Did he? Boy, oh boy, crazy chimp boy.
Cool boy.
You've got the monkeys in the trees as a chorus.
So no, but they do, so they are do. Violent.
Yeah, I know. They'll have coalitions where they'll circle their territory, and if they see a chimp from a nearby group that shouldn't be there, mm-hmm. they will attack and they will kill, and sometimes they will do things like eat that particular chimp.
All right.
Yeah, it could be pretty bloody.
Eat
but
them. This is like, yeah, this is, I will eat your heart and get your strength that you had.
I don't know who my favorite primate is, but I'm quickly finding out who my least favorite is.
But also, we have to remember, even though they can be very aggressive, so are humans in some ways, but we are way more cooperative, as are chimps, than aggressive, I think.
Okay.
Because
on balance, yeah.
I mean, because you have, I mean, otherwise it would just, they'd all be dead.
We'd be
you
killing each other all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Cooperation is a big part of who we are in other primates.
Okay. You can go a whole year and not want to kill anyone.
Whoa. Just saying. I don't know if that's possible right now.
All right, let's get this one in before some our lightning round, because mm-hmm. Guy Zachary Aaron Klossner wants to know mm-hmm. this. Can you explain some of the stranger mating dominance rituals mm-hmm. that various primates do? I'm thinking about silverbacks as well as
that's
baboons.
Yeah. Talk about some of these rituals.
Well,
top three primate mating rituals.
Yeah, way to break it down. Top three primate rituals, mating rituals.
I don't know if there's like so much a ritual, but there's just the way go about it. Orangutans, one of the things that people don't know is it's males are solitary, females forage usually alone with whatever infant they have. And it can get a little rough. If a female's not interested in a male, males will force copulation.
Mm-hmm.
And terrible. It happens.
Ape rape.
You know, yep.
That's terrible.
Or just
too.
Rape. Yes. That would be their combined.
Is that what they call? Oh, God.
No, it is. It's forced copulation.
So this happens.
It does happen. And to romanticize.
Does that mean the male is stronger than the female?
Yes. And so there's sexual dimorphism. Sexual dimorphism means that there's a size difference between males and females on average between mm-hmm.
You could go either way.
A species.
Depending on the species.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, black widows. I mean, have you ever seen a male black widow? Probably not, because they're so small. They're itty bitty.
They're completely lame.
Yeah, there's
me, dear. So lame. Oh my God.
So, any other unusual primate rituals?
I'm trying to think of actual ritual. I mean, like, you know, funny rituals.
So now, what about the? Okay, is this the baboon or whose butt gets inflamed and red?
So yeah, in fact, a friend of mine,
at a baboon butt.
Yeah, no baboons. And my friend is actually right now on her way to Zambia to do research. Megan Petersdorf, and she actually will be. She's at New York University, but she will be looking at sexual swellings of baboons. And she's my friend Todd Desitel, also of NYU. They developed a laser system so they can actually measure the size of her swollen
laser
vulva.
Metric system.
Yeah, to measure the size of the swollen vulva, and it's a signal to the opposite sex that they are ready to get down. That is a scientific term. You can tell your friends and family.
Okay.
But yeah, chimps have the same sexual swellings. Bonobos as well will get these sexual swellings when they're.
Okay. Is that because they're in heat?
Yeah. They don't have heat.
Humans,
quite,
we're not ever. It's not a heat thing.
No. Right. Wait. Well, we have ovulate. We have concealed ovulation, which is a whole nother show, which is very interesting, and there's different theories of why we have. You can't, unless you really know your partner, or you know, you can huff it on them, you can smell like, oh, something's up. You don't really
there's
know
no man who knows when his woman
ovulating.
Is ovulating. Okay, what anybody there's not a man
okay, what
alive
the, what the damn research
the
says
research not a man alive who is like, honey, it's, you know, I would say let's make love, but I'm pretty sure you're ovulating. No, we do not
There's
know.
There's people that do the whole, you know, the rhythm method, and they know this kind of stuff.
But I'm intrigued that among primates, counting us with this group, that
we have concealed
ovulation and others don't.
Right.
Yeah.
That's intriguing
not
to me.
All
and that
non-human
is because
primates.
The other primates do not have child custody cases.
Well, it's interesting, and a lot of those primate species that have the sexual swellings, they do live in large groups. So if, for instance, somebody does give birth and you don't know who it was, it Steve, Jim, Bob, who knows,
right.
the village, or basically they take
they're,
care of their
they're
own
cool
infant.
With
they're
it.
Cool. Like, it's okay.
Right.
They don't necessarily.
It's a village to raise
no
an infant.
There's
right.
no, you know, Jerry Springer.
Right. Like us, no guy wants to answer the door. Hey, what's up? Hey, man, yeah, I'm Here to pick up your wife and kids.
Yeah.
All right.
We got to go to lightning round.
Let's go to lightning round. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Mubeen Ahmed wants to know this. Can monkeys be lunatics?
Yes.
Next question. Monkeys can act a little crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And go off the ranch.
Yes, they can be. There are those outliers that, you know, and there's even freeloading monkeys, monkeys that take too much and don't give back that other monkeys will kind of spurn and ostracize. Okay.
Good. Next one, go.
All right, Petros in Zuzulas wants to know this. How can all Homo sapiens be nearly genetically identical to each other when not all Homo sapiens interbreeded with Neanderthal?
Just to put it clear, as I remember it, there are Europe especially, but there are branches of the human species that have more Neanderthal than others.
Yes. So if you only have if you're only of African descent and
have no Neanderthal,
but they also have a new there's Denisovans, which are a group that lived in Asia that basically are found in populations in Asia and Melanesia, and then there's also a new unknown DNA that they don't have fossil evidence for that also admixed with humans, but they're found in like Australia. So
what does it mean for us to be close to one another, but some have Neanderthal and others don't?
Basically it means there's a founder population in Africa. There's more genetic diversity between those living within or that are from Africa. Mm-hmm. And then those that have spread out. So
okay, so we are different on the level that these differences manifest.
Yes.
But we can all still interbreed.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. No, so it's a small difference.
It was a very small sample of humans that had mixed with Neanderthals. It was not a lot. It was not like it wasn't happening as Todd, I had a Neanderthal show this weekend. He brought up the fact that they think it was, you know, only several thousand or maybe several hundreds, not like thousands of thousands of instances of admixture.
Okay.
So it's not a ton of DNA that got into our system.
So for some people, you get to say, stop being a Neanderthal because they got actually some of that in them.
Right.
But Neanderthals weren't all that bad.
Oh, we have a Neanderthal sympathizer.
Exactly.
I mean, they weren't like...
If you love them so much, why don't you marry one?
Hey, I might.
We got to bring that to a halt here. Natalia Reagan, thank you for being on Star Talk.
Thank you for having
me. And Chuck.
Hey.
Always good to have you.
Always good to be here, man.
And when you're not with me, you're with Gary O'Reilly, okay?
Well, it's not really like that.
It's not like that. You're playing with science with
friends,
Gary O'Reilly. Call me sometime, okay? I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist, as always bidding you to keep looking up.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.